Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Dracena Wines Podcast. Today, I'm talking about Portugal and how it relates to Bordeaux. The Melisma Blog Awards was created in 2013 in order to showcase different communities of wine bloggers around the world. This contest is open to all bloggers with a passion for wine and an eagerness to share their writings with 80,000 clients. The Melisma Blog Awards is held in two stages, a registration and a submission phase, during which the articles will be judged by a jury, who then selects 18 finalists and a submission of finalists that go to the public vote. In early January, I found out that my post was a finalist. There were three finalists in my category for wine and food pairing. The posts were then sent out to the public and were voted on. In the end, after a very long 2 weeks, my post had the most votes and I was informed that I was indeed the winner. Each of the 18 finalists won a large format bottle of wine from a great Bordeaux chateau, and the six winners received an all-expense-paid to Bordeaux April 7th through the 13th, at which time we will have the chance to taste wine futures at several prestigious wine estates. I also will have a guided tour of the city of Bordeaux. I want to thank everyone who voted for me, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I cannot explain how excited I am for it to begin. I have been reading everything I can get my hands on about Bordeaux and have even been learning French using the app Duolingo. I have to admit that I did spend an exorbitant amount of time researching this topic, but never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would win such a prestigious award for my writing. My post was actually written for a monthly group chat known as Wine Pairing Weekend, a group of wine lovers who get together on the second Saturday of every month to discuss wine and food pairings. It was started in June of 2014 by David Crowley of cookingchat.com. The live chat happens at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the second Saturday of each month. The Wine Pairing Weekend themes change each month to focus on the pairings. Anyone interested in pairing is welcome to join the chat. Just follow along using the hashtag. I will have a link to the website in my notes. Before I get to the post itself, I would like to ask if you could please hit that subscribe button if you like what you hear. Also, if you could take a few minutes to leave a review of the podcast on your favorite podcast aggregator. The more reviews we get, the more Apple Podcasts and other aggregators will show us in their suggested podcast, allowing us to be found by more and more listeners. Thanks. Portugal's political history affects its culinary and wine culture. Portugal has had a very tumultuous history. Located in the southern portion of the Iberian Peninsula near the Atlantic Ocean, Portugal was founded in 1128 when Afonso Henriques defeated his mother, in battle and declared himself the sole leader. He proclaimed himself king in 1139, making Portugal officially independent. Continuing his march southward, he forced out the Moors in 1149 and successfully captured Algarve, which helped Portugal's present-day borders. In the 15th century, Portugal was the first country to discover the Atlantic route to India, Brazil, and China, and explored east and west coasts of Africa. These expeditions brought money into the country and allowed its population to grow significantly. In 1640, when the second king, without an heir, passed away, Philip II of Spain claimed the throne of Portugal, forming the bond between the two countries. Portugal, unfortunately, is plagued with historically poor political management. Because of this forced union with Spain, Portugal was dragged into the 80 Years' War, which did not sit well with their longtime allies, England. Then, the Portuguese War, which lasted from 1595 to 1663, resulted in the loss of the Portuguese Indian sea trade monopoly. Turmoil continued for the next 100 years. Finally, in 1755, the tide began to turn when Sebastião de Melo became prime minister, and the country began to see economic and financial success. Unfortunately, the prosperity did not last long. On November 1st of that same year, there was a 9.0 magnitude earthquake, followed by a tsunami and fires. These disasters, of course, destroyed the city of Lisbon, but did not deter Sebastião de Melo. He immediately began to rebuild the city. Joseph I, then king, was so impressed with his efforts, he allowed him to acquire more power. The new power took control of Sebastião de Melo, and he turned into a powerful dictator. As his power increased, so did his disgruntled upper class. When Joseph I died, Queen Maria I took over and immediately saw to it the end of the dictatorship. Once again, it looked as if the future of Portugal was going to improve, and it did, for about a century, until about 1822, when Brazil declared independence, causing both political and economic uprisings. This turmoil continued to dominate into the 20th century. In 1910, the king was overthrown, and a republic was instituted. This lasted until World War I, when the military declared that Portugal once again be under a dictatorship. During World War II, Portugal remained neutral and was a founding member of NATO and OECD and a European Free Trade Association, known as EFTA. Portugal held its first democratic elections in 1976 and joined the European Economic Community, the EEC, in 1986, finally bringing economic improvement. So the food totally has been influenced by politics. Although Portugal has poor political background, it actually is really rich in culture. Foods and dishes from Portugal and its various outposts have crossed and recrossed the world. According to Cherry Hamilton, the Minneapolis-based author of Cuisines of Portuguese Encounters, a book offering recipes, history, and food lore, the economical, political, and religious influenced the gastronomical history. Although Portugal is relatively a small country, it has over 500 miles of oceanic coast, so it is no wonder that seafood is a mainstay in their culture. Many recipes call for cod and sardines, as well as squid, octopus, and crustaceans. You can find these recipes all over the internet. Besides seafood, Portugal has historically been an agricultural country. Having been plagued with poor economics, meat was something reserved for the upper class. The majority of people relied on eggs as their source of protein. They would raise chickens and sell unused eggs at markets to trade up for other commodities. Portugal's trade history has also heavily influenced their culinary style. Introduction of spices such as piri-piri, which is a type of chili pepper, black pepper, cinnamon, vanilla, and saffron, as well as garlic, olive oil, bay, and parsley, are often used to flavor pork and beef, which are their two most popular meats. So how does the history intertwine with wine? Well, Portugal is home to around 500 indigenous grape varietals and has been influenced by its isolation within the wine world, except for Britain. There are 11 main wine regions and 29 DOCs, Denominação de Origem Controlada, in Portugal. Port came about thanks to the addition of small amounts of brandy to keep the wine stable and palatable while traveling long days to Britain. The sweet wine from Madeira that is enjoyed by so many also came about out of necessity to maintain quality wine while spending many days on a ship at extremely hot temperatures, which basically was cooking the wine. In the mid to late 20th century, sweet, slightly sparkling rosé brands from Portugal occurred. Remember Lancers, Matthias? These wines were extremely popular across the globe, but Britain was leading the way. It was extremely difficult for Portugal to improve on their wine production because of their political turmoil. However, joining of the European Union increased their economic status and allowed for grants to the lethargic Portuguese wine industry. The incoming money allowed for improvements in both facilities and technologies and created a shift to focus on more premium wine production. So admittedly, I was really short on time for choosing the wine that I was going to pair with this meal for this occasion. So I ran into Costco. And in Costco, there were three choices of Portuguese wine. And I really didn't know which one to take. So I kind of was like, I don't know what, whichever. I'm going to take this. No, I'm going to take that. But in the past, I had done another tasting for Wine Pairing Weekend, and I saw in that tasting, I did a DOC from the Douro region, and I liked the wine. So I saw several and from this region, and I was like, okay, we're set if it's in the Douro region. So what made my final decision, albeit a rather quick decision, was that the Cabriz Caliente Seleccionada had a shelf talker on it. It was ranked number 46 best Portuguese wines in the Wine Spectator, but it did receive 90 points. So I was like, all right, that's what I'm taking. So after researching it, the wine is actually a blend of Torriga Nacional, Tinta do Roriz, which is actually known as Tempranillo, and Alfarache, and it spent 6 months in French oak. I actually was impressed with the wine. And believe it or not, this wine cost $6.99. Now, I'm not going to lie, it actually cost me $13.98 because I bought the bottle for $6.99, went home, and when I opened the door to my car, the bottle fell out and broke, and wine went all over my garage floor. So I had to clean it up, pick up all the glass, head back to Costco, and buy another bottle. But in reality, for you, it would only cost $6.99. And I actually really did enjoy it. In fact, I enjoyed a glass all by itself after dinner. It was really a very enjoyable wine. It was difficult to find information about the winery itself, but I was able to find a few things about the wine. In 1989, in the heart of the Douro demarcated region in the village of Carregal do Sal, born Douro Sul Wine Company Limited, inspired by Thursday Cabriz, a property with a magnificent manor house and a century chapel. 17 has become a benchmark of excellence of the wines of Douro. The vineyards, typically surrounded by pine forests, there are grapes produced in integrated production system that generated the balanced acidity of wines and delicate aromas of the Cabriz brand. A portfolio that ranges from Cabriz Select Harvest to Top Cabriz 4C through the sparkling and spirits, red grapes and white are vinified in a winery equipped with the most modern winemaking technology, quality control laboratory, and the tasting room. The wine itself, on the eye, clear, medium, garnet in color. On the nose, it was clean, medium negative, you know, medium minus in intensity. The aromas I got were herbs, mint, dark fruit. It's developing still. On the palate, it was dry, medium minus in tannin, medium in alcohol, body and intensity. The flavors, spice right up in the front, vanilla and dark berries, and the finish was medium. What did I pair it with? I actually made homemade empanadas, which, let me tell you, was a lot of work. I will put the recipe up on the podcast homepage along with some changes. What I did was I make what I think and what Mike thinks is a kick-ass recipe for flaky pizza crust, and it is amazing for pizza. So I thought that would be good for the empanadas. However, I think it had too much flakiness, too much butter in it. So when I went to go make the empanadas, the dough was really too pliable. Like, I couldn't get it to go into an empanada shape. So it didn't really look very pretty. I would definitely kind of just recommend doing a pizza dough from a shopping center, you know, from like a food store. Or if you have a basic dough recipe, that's what I would recommend. But because of the Portugal, what I did was in the ingredients, I used spicy sausage links that actually were marinated in chipotle barbecue sauce. And I used onions and, of course, eggs, because Portugal used the eggs in all of their history, cloves, and plum tomatoes. Wrap it, and then I just baked it. Did not look pretty, but they really did taste fantastic. So head on over to our podcast homepage. I will have a link to the recipe. I will have a link to the wine pairing weekend so that you might be able to join if you are interested. And have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google+, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!